2 Timothy this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 4, for the reading of God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, you're going to be flipping to the back of your Bible there in the New Testament. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll be reading verses 6 through 8. I'll read the evens, verses 6 and 8, if you'll join with me on verse 7. And if you found 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you'll please stand this morning in honor of God's Word. And we'll start 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6, reading through verse 8. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at the day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading this morning. The opportunity we have to stand, Lord, just to open your book. Lord, I pray you bless the special this morning, be with our speaker, be with our preacher this morning. Holy Spirit, anoint him with your power. And Lord, I pray we listen and take away this morning what's been taught, use it and apply it in our lives. Well, thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
It's a well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry, red when I'm hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, a shelter from life's troubled storm.
It's a light to my pathway, and a lamp to my feet.
When the world gets so dark you can't see. Sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin.
When I think what it cost just to hold in my hand, it reminds me that I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who'd go to the stake and quote it with their dying breath. Now its critics are many and believers are few, but one thing I've found to be true.
If you find when you read it that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand is true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand is true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand.
Great song. Thank you, folks, for the good singing this morning. I enjoyed that. Enjoyed it immensely. And that is, that book right there, friend, is the foundation. It is the basis for all matters of faith and practice in the Christian life. It's why we do what we do as a church here. It should mold us at church. It should mold us at home. It's not a coffee table decoration. Can't be. Far too many Christian people treat it that way. Haul it to church on Sunday, take it home and park it in a place and never touch it again till next Sunday morning. That's a shame. That's a shame. And so thank you so much for the good song this morning. I want you to look at verse number 6 where the Bible says, "For I am now ready to be offered." And I want to speak this morning on the subject, ready to go. Now, we have a nursery that's fully staffed back here. Brother Joe, you might want to help this lady find it right out those back doors right there, ma'am. If you'll slip out there, they'll help you find that place. And that little guy will enjoy church so much back there better than listening to me try to preach this morning. So that'll be a help. All right. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 6 is through 8. 6 through 8, I'm going to speak on ready to go. And that'll be a blessing. Yeah, just right out there and they'll help you find it. Very good. All right. Very good. Thank you. Brother Tom, you can show them where it is out the doors back there, and they'll help us there. Thank you. Super. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege to be in church this morning. Thank you for the good song we just heard. And Lord, please, I pray that you'll help our hearts to be in tune this morning with your Spirit and your Word. Holy Spirit of God, without you, all is vain. So come and control my mind, my words, and Lord, all of us as we listen to what you have for us this morning. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. About a month ago, on Friday, February 15th, Brother Woodward and I drove out to Akron, Ohio, and attended the memorial service. We went to the wake on Friday night and the memorial service on Saturday for Dr. Rick Fox. He was the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Kenmore, which is a subdivision in the Akron, Ohio area. And he was only 59 years of age. Had a stroke, those of you that remember us talking about it, and went to heaven. That was on February 15th and 16th when we attended that memorial service. And then on March the 6th, which was a Wednesday, I received in the mail a CD Brother Andy Edwards sent me. Brother Edwards was his close friend, and Brother Edwards had a part in the service there for Brother Fox. And the CD was a copy of the last Sunday morning message that Rick Fox preached on February the 3rd, Sunday morning. Now, on February the 7th, Thursday, he had the stroke. But on February 3rd, he preached his last Sunday at his church there. And the title of his Sunday morning message, the last one he preached, Getting Ready to Go. And he preached out of this text right here. Getting Ready to Go. Preached that on Sunday. And then had the stroke on Thursday. It wasn't until the next week that he actually left this life and went to heaven. But he preached on getting ready to go. I thoroughly enjoyed listening to the message, Getting Ready to Go. Now, that was on Wednesday and Thursday, March the 6th and 7th. And then Friday, March 8th, I attended the memorial service for Elliot Neimeyer, who passed away at the age of 79. So he's 20 years older than Brother Fox. Brother Neimeyer had suffered from dementia the last 2 to 3 years of his life and had lived up in Michigan with one of his children and their family. And they played a video at the end of his memorial service. And that video clip ended with a live recording of him reading from what I believe he called or referred to as his manifesto for his kids and his grandkids. And 53 grandchildren, I believe it is. And as he read from that manifesto, and I was watching that clip from the video there, one thing struck me, and that was this. He was ready to go. He was ready to go. Now, Joe Crawford, Barbara's brother, 81 years of age, was ready to go. So that's been on my mind a little bit. So that was my mind, and I thought about this passage right here. The Apostle Paul, he was ready. He used the words in verse number 6. I am now ready. Do you see that there in verse 6? I am now ready. Paul was approaching the end of his life, and God had shown him that he was soon to leave this world. Now, God does that. Look at what he said in verse number 6. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. Once in a while, God does that. God gives His people a premonition, if you will. I don't think Brother Fox was felt like he was going to go. But once in a while, people will get a premonition that they don't have many days left. The same thing had happened to Peter. He had the same information from God about his life in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. This is what he said, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, referring to his body, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. And so Peter, like Paul, could say, you know, God has prepared me. And He's shown me that I don't have many days left. My time on this planet, this earth, is very, very short. So Paul and Peter were both given the knowledge that their lives would end shortly. Some people are not given that knowledge. For some, it is a sudden accident or is a sudden loss of health. Brother Fox was hit by that massive stroke on that Thursday, and I don't think he ever fully regained consciousness. I don't believe the brain swelled and he was gone. Some of you may remember Greg Brittick. The Brittick family that used to go to church here years ago, and Greg was at work one day, worked for Meade Electric, and was sitting on a 5-gallon bucket wiring. He was an electrician. And on that five, I'm thinking Greg was in his 40s. I'm thinking. And had an aneurysm. Slumped over off that bucket and was gone. Just like that. So some people, like Peter and Paul, they have a premonition. They have a little word from the Lord that kind of says, you know what? Barbara was talking about Joe. And Joe, earlier this week, went to heaven on Thursday. But earlier in the week, he was talking about, they're getting ready. Or something like that. Here they come, or something. And saw the other world a little bit. So he was ready. He was ready. Now, whether or not you and I have any premonition about how long we're going to live, every one of us can be ready. Ready to go. When I think of getting ready to go, I think of preparation, don't you? I think it's interesting to note the different ways that some people get ready to go on vacation. I don't know where, maybe one of these two extremes is you, or you're somewhere in the middle, but you got the one group that gets ready to go on vacation, and they get ready to go on vacation for 4 or 5 months before they go. I mean, man, they're planning, and nowadays with the internet, you know, and Google Earth, and they'll type in the location and Google right down, and they'll look at it. See, can you believe that you can actually see where you're going? And go around the map, you know, find out what's in the area, what we're going to do on this day, what's there to do. Are there any historical sites? Are there any recreation? Is there anything that we need to do or see? What's the motel like? What are the amenities? What's in the room? Is there a microwave? Is there a refrigerator in the room? Does the motel have a continental breakfast? Are there any shopping malls or golf courses or any charter fishing or what we're going to do on this day? And they plan every day where we're going to buy gas and where we're going to eat and where we're going to stop. They plan it all out. And then, you know, and in days in advance, get the house ready to go and get the mail stopped and get everything in order and get the timers on the light switches so it looks like somebody's home. I don't think that works. But it feels good, doesn't it? Amen. Gives you a sense of security, I guess. And plan and plan and plan and plan and plan every little detail. And then the other group says, what do you want to do Friday? Well, I don't know. What do you want? Let's go on vacation. Here, let's go. All right, come on. Throw your suitcase in. Let's go. Take off. Where are we going? I don't know. Wherever we go. That's right. And they go and they have a vacation. Maybe it's just a scenic vacation, but they're just going to get in the car and they're going to drive. And whatever happens, happens. Now, I don't suppose one way is more right than the other. We've never done anything like that. We really don't plan in that great of details I went to earlier, but kind of somewhere in between. That's okay for a vacation, but you cannot take the approach of, well, whatever happens, happens with eternity. Hey, folks, look it. You can jump in the car and go on a vacation, have a bad experience, and come back and decide, we'll never do that again. We'll fix that. But you can't do that with eternity. Brother Fox can't come back. Brother Neimeyer can't come back. Brother Crawford, he can't come back. My brother that went at 49 last year, he can't come back. So you don't have the opportunity to kind of, you know, que sera, sera, whatever happens, happens. And then, you know, if it doesn't turn out good, I'll get it right the next time. There is no next time. We're talking about getting ready to go. So I want to talk to you about it really is wise to be ready to go. And since I may not get to know anything about my departure, I have to be ready now. Isn't that what Paul said in verse number 6? Look at the fourth word in that verse. For I am, what do you say? Now. Was he gone? No, but he's ready. And he didn't say, you know, by this time next week I'll be ready. When he put these words on the paper, he said, I'm ready now. And I would suggest to you and me that when it comes to eternity, that's how it needs to be for all of us. We need to be ready now. Now, ready to go. Let me give you two or three suggestions this morning about this matter of ready to go. Number one, this is so very practical. In fact, all of them are, but this is very, very practical. If you are, pardon me, up in years, have your memorial service ready. Have your memorial service ready. Now, Dr. Fox, he passed away at age 59, which is pretty young, but he had a file in his desk drawer titled, listen to this, After I Die. That was the title of the file. And they sat down to look, go through his desk. Family sat down to kind of go through his desk after he went to heaven. And they pulled that drawer out, and here was that file, letter A, After I Die. And inside that file was everything he wanted for his memorial service. Who would do the preaching? Who would do the plan of salvation? Who would share this? Who would sing? Where it would be held? What it would be like? He had it all planned. You know what, friend? That's not a bad thing. If your family is not saved, they may not choose the kind of memorial service that you would be pleased with. Listen, you want a memorial service that will bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? That's what you want. I've been to some doozy Christian memorial services. I'm weary of going to Christian memorial services and hearing Elton John sing. I'm weary of that. I get weary sometimes of some of the things that Christian. And you know what it is? Christian people don't plan ahead. They don't think about it. Now, you know what? If you're 30 years of age, 35 years, you're probably not going to sit down and plan your memorial service. I don't blame you. But if you're getting up in years, I've sat down with many a saint in this church over 22 and a half years and had them go over with me, this is what I want for my memorial service when I'm gone to heaven. And here's the songs, and here's the scripture, and this is what I'd like. And I always want, and I want you to bring the message. I'd like Brother so-and-so to have a part in it. And Pastor, be sure and give the gospel. Be sure and tell people at my memorial service how Jesus saves. And plan it all out. Plan it all out. That's a very, very smart thing to do. So if you're up in years, start thinking about your memorial service. You want to have that ready. Paul said, I am now ready. So number one, if you're up in years, have your memorial service planned and ready. Number two, as much as possible, have your relationships ready. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in that chapter we read from a moment ago, down in verse number 11, look at what Paul said. He said, only Luke is with me. Then he said this, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Now, you may not know this. We talked about this in the book of Acts on Wednesday night a few weeks ago, but Paul and Mark had a broken relationship. Now, I'm not going to go into all the details of what happened between Paul and Mark. And by the way, they were not blood relatives. Okay? But they were Christians. And Paul had a broken relationship with Mark. And it's interesting to me that in the very same chapter, he says, I am now ready. That it's obvious he has made amends with Mark. Y'all with me? He has restored that broken relationship. Now, people, I cannot describe for you the sadness and the regret and the sorrow that people experience when a loved one passes away and they pass away with a breach in the family relationship. I can't describe that to you. It's really, really a very sad thing. Now, I know it takes two to restore a broken relationship. And I know sometimes, you know, one of the people involved just will not bend. They're adamant and they're hard-hearted and they're hard-headed. I know a married couple has had conflict for years in their marriage. And I've watched over the years as one of the spouses has tried to restore the relationship and the other spouse never receives the attempt, always stiff-arms the other. And if it doesn't get restored when death comes, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. There's going to be unbelievable regret and sadness. Because it's final. It's final. I've been in funeral homes for wakes. You know, over the course of the ministry, 10 years in Iowa and 22 and a half years here in Bourbon A, I haven't taken the time to add it up, but I'll bet you the ratio is at least 2-1 funerals to weddings, and maybe 3-1 funerals to weddings. Maybe 3-1. Three times as many funerals as weddings. So I have been in situations in funeral homes for a wake or a visitation on more than one occasion. You've got a body of a person laid out in a casket, and the relatives and the friends are visiting quietly, and they're grieving and going through the process of that grief that is so important when you lose a loved one. And then a person walks in the room and immediately there's tension. It goes from this calm process of grieving together and all of a sudden, there's this. I mean, you can feel it. And I'm oblivious. I don't know. But there's a tension, there's a tightness, and what's happened is a brother or a sister or a parent or a spouse or a grandparent or someone who had a broken relationship with the one who died has just come in the room. Maybe there's not been any kind of communication for years. And they walk in, and it's, honestly, folks, it's horrible. And so many times there is this uncontrolled wailing and sobbing. And I remember standing in one of those situations one time, just standing over against the wall, watching it all unfold, and the funeral home director said to me, "Boy, they must have really been close." And I said, "No, sir, it's just the opposite. They weren't close. The relationship was busted. And now one part of that relationship is no longer in this world. There is no opportunity for that thing to be restored. It's done. It's final." And the wailing and the sobbing and the grief that goes on when that happens is just very, very, very sad. I have seen people so overcome with grief and so overcome with emotion to the point where they literally have vomited. I mean, sometimes where the funeral home director has had to send the people, everybody out of the room. It was chaos. I'm standing there just watching the whole thing unfold. And my heart is just so saddened because it doesn't have to be that way. Especially with God's people. My friend, if you've got any kind of relationship with a loved one, an immediate family member, or even an extended family member, do your best to mend that relationship before you leave this world or before they do. Paul said, "I'm now ready." And by the way, you can bring Mark. And that, you know, we had that little episode back some years ago, and our relationship got broken. But hey, you know what? That thing's mended. And I'm glad it is now because I don't have long. And I know it takes two. I understand it takes two. But you know what? You may not be successful in restoring it, but the fact that you made an attempt will bring you great comfort in that day. Y'all with me this morning? It's a very practical message. I understand that. I'm ready. You know, I was thinking, I was just reliving pardon me, I know some of you have done this too, but I was reliving the days of my brother's homegoing last October. And, you know, and he, yes, sad. Oh, my goodness, was it sad. And now his wife has this cancer again, and it's just, and they got to give her 30 more days. It's just of radiation, and if it comes back, if it metastasizes, it's going to come back in brain or bone cancer. It's a mess for her, and I feel so bad. So I was just kind of reliving all that. You know, and I thought, about, you know, my mind went back to, Brother Caleb, I remember when I was 18 years of age and I left, I was unsaved, and I left my home in rebellion and anger. I left my mom, I left my dad, I left my brother Tom, I left my brother Tim. I was unsaved, I was selfish, so full of myself and only what I wanted, and I walked out on my family. I'm not proud of that. I'm ashamed of that. I'm just using it as an illustration. And I'm so thankful that God in His grace, we sang about this morning, reached down and changed my life and saved me. And you know, my relationship with my dad and my mom and my two brothers was restored. It was absolutely wonderful. And if my brother had gone to heaven last year in October at age 49, and he and I had had a broken relationship and hadn't spoken in years. Can you imagine how that would be? It'd be awful. Ready to go. If you're up in years, get your memorial service planned and make it bring a service that brings honor and glory to the Lord. And if you've got any kind of a broken relationship, especially with a family member, and even beyond that, go on beyond the boundaries of your family and get extended to your friends and people in the church. And if you've got a broken relationship with a brother or sister in Christ, do your best to restore that thing before you go. Do your best. And you may not be successful, but you'll be glad you tried. Be very glad that you tried. And you may not ever be able to become best of anything, but at least that friction is at least cared for. Y'all with me this morning? Okay. So number three, let me say this, and I'll continue on here. Number three, above all and above everything, have your destination ready. Above all and above everything, have your destination ready. Now, it is obvious from Paul's words here that his destination was settled. Heaven was, when you read these verses, you can't read these verses and read any ambiguity in what Paul is facing. He says in verse number 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Paul is talking in certainties. You with me? You say, hey, he's a proud. He's not proud. He's confident. Philippians 1:6, he said, being confident of this very thing. He didn't say being proud of this very thing. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Here is a sweet, calm confidence in Paul's soul. I can face death in a few days, and I'm not at all worried about where my eternal destination will be. You see, what I just don't believe you can know that. Well, I've been told that so many times, I could repeat it to you. I don't believe anybody can know that. I don't believe a person can know something like that. Well, that's not what God said. God said in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may, K-N-O-W, know that you have eternal life. I love it when we sing that song, I know whom I have believed. That's not cockiness. That's confidence. That's not confidence in me. It's not confidence in my opinions. It is confidence in God's Word. And friend, if you are here this morning and you do not have confidence in your heart, that you will be in heaven when you leave this world, you're not ready to go. And I would say, man, get ready. If you're going to get ready to go, you must humble yourself. You must believe what God said. Humility is so necessary in this thing of salvation. I'm convinced that pride keeps more people out of heaven than any other thing. Well, that's not what I believe. Well, that's not what I think. Well, that's not my opinion. Well, you know what? I'll never walk an aisle in front of anybody and pride. Pride. I believe with all my heart that's the whole lesson that Jesus was teaching in the Gospels when He told that group of adults, He said, if you're going to go to heaven, you're going to have to become as a little child. Children don't have any pride. Well, they got it. It's in there, but they don't manifest it yet. They don't argue. Fuss around. Reason away. They're humble. You tell a child they're a sinner and they, okay, yeah, if that's what God said, that's what I am. And that's the approach you got to take. And it shouldn't come as a shock to you. Because you know you better than anybody else. Okay? And you got to know that you're a sinner. And you got to understand what God said the wages of sin is. God said the wages of sin is separation from Him forever in the place called hell or the lake of fire. It's in the Word of God. That's what God said. You tell a child that and the child goes, oh, that's what God said? Okay. And you tell a child that Jesus came to do what the child cannot do. Jesus came and shed His blood and paid the debt that you can't pay so that you could be saved. And now if you'll put your faith in what He did, God will save you. Really? That's what I want to do. That's exactly what Jesus was saying when He said, all of you adults have got to become like little children. Religion's really messed this thing up. Religion tells the child, no, you can't get saved until you're 12. Because at age 12, you're just beginning to become an adult, and that's when you can get saved. I'm going to tell you something, Buster. Jesus said just the opposite. I don't care if you're 12 or 18 or 22 or 52 or 102. You're going to have to get down in your own opinion like a little child and just believe what God said and trust His Son Jesus for your salvation or you're not going to go to heaven. And I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm trying to help you this morning. I'm talking about being ready to go, ready to go, ready to go, ready to go. A man stands up on a Sunday morning and preaches on getting ready to go and on Thursday night has a stroke he'll never recover from. Ready to go. Now you can have everything in order, pal. You can have all your finances in order and you can have all the insurance that you could be insurance poor. Have family taken care of. Have it all there, man. Have everything just laid out. Have the attorney involved. It's all set in stone for when I leave this world. In fact, you can gain the whole world. And if you lose your soul, it's profited you nothing. Because you can't come back and get ready next time. That makes sense? It's get ready now. That's what Paul said. Now, today. I mean, it's right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now. Not tomorrow. I've told this church before, but Pete Smith, man I witnessed to in Iowa, his brother Bud, a little older than him, two bachelors lived together. His brother Bud got cancer. His brother Bud passed away. Before Bud died, Pastor Brown had the opportunity to lead Bud to the Lord Jesus, and Bud got saved. And Brother Brown did his memorial service, and some weeks after that, Andy Davis and I went to see his brother Pete, and sat down in the little living room there in the little house. I can still see it in my mind's eye. I can still see the couch that Pete was sitting on. And I was pressing Pete on this matter of, man, Pete, Bud's in heaven. If you don't get saved, you're not going to heaven. And you need to get saved now. And he stood up, walked across that little living room to where I was sitting on the couch and leaned his chest down toward my face and said, "Do you hear that?" I don't know. He said, "Can you hear that? That's a pacemaker. They put that in my heart. They told me I have 10 years. He walked around, went back to his chair, his couch, and sat down. I looked at him. I said, "Pete, don't say that." That was on Tuesday. On Friday, Mr. John Jones from the, John Monk from the Jones Funeral Home called me at the church. He said, "Pastor Terry," he said, "I think we got a service that you folks will be involved in." I said, "Who died?" He said, "Pete Smith." What? 72 hours after he told me he had 10 years, he's gone. And I'm not trying to scare you this morning. I'm not trying to scare you at all. I'm trying to help you and preach to you a very important truth. Paul said, "I am now ready." Let me say this. Have you ever planned a trip to a certain destination, some kind of historical site or some place, and you were all excited and pumped up, and when you got there, it was less than what it was advertised to be? That ever happened to you? Now, don't take this wrong if you like this place. I'm probably stepping out on thin ice because somebody here is going, "This is your favorite place, and I'm about to diss it." Okay? But I remember when I took my family out west some years ago, went on highway, got on Interstate 90 up here, and went through Wisconsin, across to Minnesota. I started seeing these signs for Wall Drug. If I saw one billboard, I saw 100 billboards. Wall Drug, 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 stop, Wall Drug, free ice water. Wall Drug, that's what it says. Free water. One place left, folks, you can get free water. That's Wall Drug, amen. Wall Drug, Wall Drug, Wall Drug. I said, "Man, we were going to Yellowstone and going through the Badlands and Wall Drug, Wall Drug." You know what? After about 500 billboards, I said, "We're going to stop at Wall Drug. I'm not going to pass Wall Drug." We pulled off the interstate, little town, Wall, South Dakota, just east of the Badlands. There, some of you been there. I see you shaking your head. I walked in that place. I'm sorry, but this is Wall Drug. I mean, this is all those billboards. I thought to myself, this is ridiculous. Well, maybe you got a place like that. Can I tell you something, friend? I don't care how many people have tried to advertise heaven. When we get there, there's going to be no disappointment. And that's one destination. When you and I get there, we're not going to say, "Well, boy, this is not all it's cracked up to be." No, we get to heaven. No, my friend, our jaws will drop. Our eyes will bug out. And after we get through worshiping Jesus for a little while at His throne, have one of those saints of God walk us around up there and show us our living quarters and all the saints from ages past there and loved ones and streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper and trees and a river of life and the saints and the angels of God singing and the beautiful, oh man, the half has never been told. Never been told. I love that song. We used to have it in our old song, but we don't have it in this one. There's no disappointment in heaven. No disappointment in heaven. No weariness, sorrow, or pain. No hearts that are bleeding and broken. No song with a minor refrain. The clouds of our earthly horizon will never appear in the sky. For all will be sunshine and gladness with never a tear nor a sigh. There'll never be a crepe on the doorknob. No funeral train in the sky. No graves on the hillsides of glory. For there we shall never more die. The old, the young there forever. Transformed in a moment of time. Immortal will stand in His likeness, the stars and the sun to outshine. For there's no disappointment in heaven. No. done. Won't that be wonderful? Whether you know your time or not, whether we're like Paul and Peter, who both know, they were both shown from the Lord that they only had a few days left to live, or whether you're Greg Brittick working on a 5-gallon bucket and take your last breath and slump over. You can have that sweet peace and confidence in your heart this morning. I'm now ready. I'm ready now. Ready now. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Four days before a stroke that the fox preaches, getting ready to go. Ready to go. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your attention. Listen carefully now. For the next couple minutes, we'll be on our way shortly. Just give me your attention with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, please. This is what we do every service. This is not unusual. Who would say, Pastor, and be honest this morning, would you please be honest? Would you please be honest? Pastor, I'm ready. As far as eternal life goes, I'm ready now. Now, maybe there are some things that need to be tidied up or fixed up, but as far as my destination goes, as far as heaven being my eternal home, I am now ready, and I know it. And I can say that this morning from an honest heart for a Bible reason. I know I am now ready to go to heaven. Would you slip your hand in the air, please, just as a sign of that? Be honest about it. Thank you so much. Thank you. Take your hands down. Is there somebody here this morning who would say, Pastor, I was honest. I didn't raise my hand. I don't have that confidence. I don't know that I'm ready. I don't know where I will spend eternity. Oh, from time to time it crosses the crevices of my mind. I think about it. But, Pastor, I am not sure where I will spend eternity. I could not raise my hand a moment ago. I'll raise it now and just say, pray for me. I don't know. I couldn't raise it a moment ago because I don't know. Would you slip your hand up? Let me just pray for you this morning, wherever you're sitting. Slip it up. Put it right back down. Is there any like that here this morning? Front to back, side to side. On the main floor of the balcony, I don't know that I'm now ready. I don't know. I couldn't raise my hand a moment ago. It concerns me enough, Pastor. I'll ask you to pray for me. Just pray for me this when you close the service in a moment. I'll do that. Just a moment, I'll pray for you. And if you're not ready and you're not saved, you can get ready this morning. Somebody can take the Word of God and show you how to be saved and how to be ready and on your way to heaven for when you leave this world. I hope that you'll come and let us do that today. Share that wonderful story of salvation with you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one is looking. I'll pray in just a moment. Is there somebody here this morning? Pastor, I've been saved, but I've not been baptized in deep water since I've been saved. Have a Father the Lord and believer's baptism. Need to do that. Would you raise your hand, please? Somebody like that. Yes, God bless you. If you came prepared to do that this morning, step out right now. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one is looking, we have folks ready to help you prepare for baptism. You come and come quickly and we'll get you set and ready. And that's wonderful. Somebody else? Or if you need to talk to us about baptism and get ready to do that, we'll be happy to help you with that as well. Anybody else while we wait? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Folks are on their way to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You come right away. We'll get you settled here. Set. Now, who's here this morning would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved and I got that taken care of. That matter's finished. But you know something else you said along the way there about making sure relationships are taken care of. There's some work that I need to do. And maybe you've tried and you've not been successful. But you want to ask God to help you again. And you know what? You may never be successful. But you're going to make sure that on your end, you do everything that's necessary to make sure that the relationship is at least congenial and amiable in case of someone's passing or your own passing. Pastor, pray for me. I got some work to do. Would you raise a hand, please, this morning across the room? Yes, yes. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I see those hands. Yes. Somebody else. Pray for me. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege of preaching your word this morning. Thank you for Paul's testimony about being ready to go to heaven. And Lord, I pray that you'll please speak to hearts today. God, if there's one or more here this morning, not sure that they're saved, I pray that today might be their day of salvation, that you'll speak to the heart. Lord, would you please bless these that have come to be baptized. give us a good invitation, I pray this morning in Jesus' name.